Hello, everybody. Welcome to the All Talk, All Ashes podcast, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. I am Ferenczi. I apologize if I sound a little bit off. I am just getting over being sick. Just caught a little cold. I am the MMO Variety Gamer, and I am joined by my brother, Subjective.
Hi, Subjective. Longtime MMO gamer, mostly WoW player here. Good to see you all again.
The WoW veteran. So yeah, if you're again not familiar, if you're new to the podcast, we just kind of break down information about the game that we have access to, whether we're revealed through dev streams, conversations. Again, our hope is just to kind of find some easier ways to kind of learn and just, you know, talk about the game and just really be excited for it. Honestly, I think that's what we're both excited for, is just getting Ashes in our hands. Today we are going to be talking about mounts in Ashes of Creation, which for those of you, I think a lot of people like mounts, collecting mounts, you know, having mounts. So I'm gonna give a little bit of a breakdown first, just kind of go over what we know about mounts. Again, this is just kind of like a very quick recap. There's a lot more information on the wiki and other places if you want to, like, you know, deep dive for yourself. But we'll just give some information and then we're just gonna kind of have some conversation about it and go from there. So if you're not familiar, there are three types of mounts in Ashes of Creation. Ground and land, which also includes aquatic mounts, gliding and jumping mounts, and something called the royal / flying mounts. Mounts can have up to four abilities, which can be unlocked via the animal husbandry kind of profession. Mounts can be rare boss drops, or they can be obtained through animal husbandry and some other means as well. Again, the royal mounts are primarily these flying mounts, which can only be used by mayors and kind of kings, queens, which is kind of an interesting thing. They have a limited lifespan as well, the royal and flying mounts. And mounts can be killed in combat as well, but they can also be later revived. So they can be killed, but they can also come back. That's, again, pretty quick recap of mounts, just kind of talking about what they are, the different types. And I guess we'll just kind of kick it off by, I don't know, what do you think of, like, these different types of mounts and, like, some of the limitations on them in Ashes of Creation?
I like this. I always do have a thorn in my side about flying mounts because of what they did to World of Warcraft, and anyone who's played World of Warcraft will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It really kind of killed the sense of the world in that game when they added flying mounts. I mean, I loved flying mounts, don't get me wrong, but the world felt less alive because of them. But, you know, we'll have to see how Ashes implements it. It seems like they are more limited in scope. Maybe you can use them in PvP for, like, big attacks. Like I saw, maybe you can use dragons in PvP for castle sieges to, like, mow down people and stuff. But you can shoot them out of the sky, so. And WoW, you really couldn't do that because you just fly up really high and no one can touch you up there. So as long as there's some counter to flying mounts, which, you know, maybe you could build a siege weapon to shoot them out of the sky, stuff like that, or players can shoot further and hit them up in the sky. I'm not opposed to flying mounts, but after what I see, what they did to WoW, it kind of hurt a little bit. But,
okay, so again, because you played a lot more. Like, I played WoW at, like, launch way back in the day. I never played any of the expansions, really. But we did kind of recently play Dragonflight a little bit, so I guess I got a little bit of experience with that. But, like, what is it about mounts, like flying mounts in particular, that really, I don't know, I know you said it kind of, maybe not ruined the game, but it definitely had maybe left a bad taste in people's mouths. Like, what is it, like, was it just, like, PvP? Was it just, like, I don't know. What do you think, kind of, how did flying mounts kind of affect WoW, maybe not in the best of light?
All right, let me give you the best example I can think of here, and that is I played on a PvP server. I liked PvP. And when flying mounts were introduced in the first expansion, the Burning Crusade, you know, you would just fly around up really high. You could avoid everything. You'd only come out of the sky when you wanted to. You could literally AFK up there because they would just sit there if you wanted to. And it really ruined a lot of the fun because in the early days of WoW, people would literally just PvP by camping dungeons. Like, I would camp before Molten Core. We'd go to raid Molten Core. We would camp in Black Rock Depths, which, well, inside Black Rock Depths is the instance for Molten Core. And in one of those, you have to walk down a chain to get down there. And me and a friend, we were both Night Elves. he was a priest and I was a hunter, so I would drop ice traps and they would walk, the horde would walk on the ice traps, and then my friend would mind control them and throw them into the lava. So I'm giving you kind of a silly example. Yes, that was kind of griefy. They did eventually nerf it where they wouldn't take a durability loss on their armor when players did that to them. But it's just like some stuff like that. When big raids open, you know, you'd have shitloads of people there fighting. And then BC comes out and people would just like, they're going to the raid instance. They would just dive bomb in from the sky and like enter in literally on their flying mount. And it just, it kind of ruined that.
So it kind of sounds like the biggest issue was there was like, there wasn't like a lot of counters to it. Like if you were just flying high up in the sky and like dive bombing in on people and stuff like that, like there wasn't like a ballista or like another flying mount, like somebody that could like attack you in the air. Is that, that's kind of what I'm like hearing?
No, you couldn't do any of that. And well, I mean, they eventually added something way later that you could like throw a net at someone at a pretty long range to dismount them. But I felt like world PvP was already dead at that point. Like the world felt more dead because everyone was up in the sky.
Yeah. Okay. That, I mean, that makes sense. And so what do you think of, I think I have a, like a follow-up question, maybe, you know, let me ask it now. Cause we're on the topic of kind of World of Warcraft. Obviously that's the kind of like the dominant MMO still, I would say today. Like, what do you think of Dragonflight's like flying, which I think is coming into like the main game from what I can understand, like they're going to be putting it throughout like the rest of the game, like that flying style, or is almost like more like having played it, like you could pretty much fly almost endlessly, but there was kind of like a almost like a gliding element to it where you kind of had to like, I don't know, I wouldn't call it like power up, but like, you know, you had to like maintain momentum, like dive and stuff like that to keep your speed and things like that. Like did you like that more? Would you be like prefer something more like that in Ashes?
I would. Yes, I do think Dragonflight's change up of flying was a breath of fresh air for flying in World of Warcraft. But I'm just going to give you two sides on this. The old flying, like for a lot of people ask this question, like was when Dragonflight came out or when it was in beta and alpha and stuff, was like, people were asking Blizzard, was this going to be the new flying? Like, was it, people call it, I don't know if you're going to want to, everyone has a different term for it. It is momentum based. So people call it skill based flying because you actually have to pay attention, right?
Yeah.
So you got to pay attention to your momentum, your abilities, and stuff like that. The biggest question was asked is for accessibility reasons, because they're, not everybody, unfortunately, can pull these off. It might not be a skill. I'm not saying it's a skill issue. I'm talking about an actual accessibility issue. Blizzard is keeping the old way of flying in the game for accessibility reasons, which I think is 100% fine. I prefer the new method, obviously. I prefer the momentum-based flying. And, you know, the more control, faster, you know, you control the abilities. You can choose when you burst speed, go up and down, just much smoother, more realistic. But I do think for if they're going to have a momentum-based flying system in Ashes, they do maybe would want to think about a system for accessibility reasons to help people out, because I do feel like accessibility in games is a huge problem. A lot of games just don't do it right. A lot of games do it really well. It's getting better in the industry, but I prefer the momentum-based flying, but I'm not going to be mad if they have just static flying like the old WoW days for accessibility reasons.
No, yeah. I mean, I definitely think that's a good thing, too. And, you know, it could be, like, various different ways. Like, maybe it's a different control scheme, like, that's more accessible. Like, things like that, too, that could be done. Okay, so now, what do you think about, like, because it does sound kind of like actual flying. Like, you know, like, kind of what we're used to in World of Warcraft and things like that. Flying mounts, as well as some other games. But, you know, it does sound like it's very limited from the information we have now. Now, that could change, right? Again, any information that's out there can always be updated, right? They might be updating the game and find, hey, like, this doesn't work. Or maybe they get community feedback. We're like, hey, like, we want access to flying. But for now, they're kind of, like, called the Royal Mounts, which are true flying mounts. Sounds like it can only be used by mayors and kind of kings and queens, which I think kind of hold domain over, like, nodes and, like, particularly, like, castle nodes and things like that. Do you think that's a good thing, or is that going to be, because it sounds, that means probably not that many people are going to have really access to flying mounts at all if it's just limited to like mayors and kings and queens?
I don't know. I'm very conflicted on this because now that gives them extraordinary amounts of, mobility compared to the average player. I really have to see how this, again, this is something like I have to see play out, right? From the limited information we know about this, it does sound like these flying mounts will be extremely powerful. Now, it does sound like they have a very limited lifespan. From what
Yes.
the wiki says, it's probably between, right now they're saying between 15 and 30 days, and that combines online and offline time, so real world days.
Yeah.
And then they will pass away. But the Royal Mount eggs will be able to be sold to other players, so it's not like they are 100% limited to kings and queens initially.
Yeah.
So you might be able to sell their eggs so other people can get flying. Again, I go back to my WoW comparisons. Like I said, too much flying can make the world kind of feel dead. Limited flying is okay. If you give players the tools to deal with the flying, which WoW had none of that, then it doesn't bother as me much. Because if I'm a PvPer and I'm out there, I want to be able to shoot someone down off their mount and fight if I want
Yeah.
to. I just want that option. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it, right? I just don't want people to have fly-in on a game that does have a lot of PvP in it. I mean, don't get me wrong, we talked about PvP a lot last week. You can avoid a lot of PvP, but I don't think flying mounts should be that avenue to avoid PvP because it makes, like I said, it can make the world feel more dead because everyone's up in the air. Just dive bombing to farm their ore or whatever, like they did in World of Warcraft, or literally diving into instances. That's all it became when flying came to WoW. So I just don't want it to become that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely prefer, I think, more of a limited, like, flying in an MMO, for many of the reasons you mentioned. I don't mind if it is mostly like kings, queens, royals, and maybe some other limited folks, by kind of like getting these eggs, and there is a limited lifespan. Obviously, I think the big thing will be like how, because I think it mentions like maybe like on uber rare bosses, like you can get these like eggs and things like that. So like how rare are they? Things like those will be like that's kind of just a balancing thing. I'm sure they'll kind of figure out like an Alpha 2 and maybe in the future. So I think that's important to kind of figure out. But also just like I think with flying too, like I think when you start introducing flying, particularly into an MMO, it does kind of like devalue like everything else that happens on the ground, right? So like there's no risk of like running into like an ambush, or like kind of getting involved, like maybe get swept up in like a caravan PvP fight or like something like that. So like, or maybe there's like a side quest or world quest or something that like pops up. And I think with flying, that's something that like kind of you're just typically you're flying high up, you're coasting over all that, you're probably not paying attention. You might just be AFK flying to get to point A to point B. So I do think like flying being a lot more limited, I think, is a really good thing because it's going to put a lot more value of being on the ground and kind of traveling through the world, which to me is like, I think, something really enjoyable, like a big part of MMO, something that I really enjoy, getting to walk through the world, getting to know the world, getting to know all the little like shortcuts through the world and things like that too. So you kind of miss out a lot on that when you're just flying, soaring up in the sky, not really paying attention to everything that's happening below you.
Yes, like I said, for my comparison is to original vanilla WoW. Like I said, when you're leveling 1 to 60, it's an amazing journey. And you might be like questioning why I'm saying this. Like once you level your 6th or 7th character in World of Warcraft, back in original vanilla WoW, I'm talking about when it took significantly longer than it does. A lot of people, they already did the journey. They wanted it sped up. Right, and that's the same thing I have with like flying mounts. Like they're much faster. You don't have to worry about terrain. You can just fly over everything, and it's like another convenience thing to be like, I know the world, I can just fly over it, right? So the reason, I guess, I could get into some reasons here what they could do with flying mounts to keep them in the game, maybe without while having them still in the game, like. Maybe they could make flying mounts have a stamina bar, so you can only fly X amount of, let's just say distance, and then they are forced to land to recover that stamina bar a bit. forcing them to the ground, I guess. Now, these are just opinions of mine. I don't know if these are good ones. I'm just giving throwing ideas out there, right? And then maybe ground mounts don't have stamina bars, so they can kind of keep up. So when they're forced to land, and if you want to PvP, you can engage them and stuff. But, you know, you got to be the one trying to track them down and stuff. I don't know. What do you think about, like, how you can kind of rein in flying mounts without making them so broken?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe, like, more of, like, a Dragonflight flying system where it is a little bit, like, there's kind of, like, a skill element to kind of, like, staying aloft, to, like, staying up high, like, you know, speed, like, maintaining your speed, you know, things like that I think are going to be kind of important for... you know, flying mounts. Again, I do think limiting them is kind of be a good thing overall. Just having them be limited in numbers. Again, maybe it is only mayors or queens or kings or whatever that can access them, or maybe they can. There's some other people that'll gain access too. But I don't know. There's no like. I don't know. I hate to say that there's no perfect way to do it because I say that a lot. But I do think I would rather be on the ground with. A ground mount, so to speak. I definitely get to what you're saying too, like the convenience, you know, things like, you know, after you've kind of leveled and you've been through the world like a lot, then it kind of, you start to get bored and you just want to get, you know, done faster with things. I'm hoping that's where, like, as nodes begin to level up, I think it was, back when we were talking about nodes, and I think it was maybe like the science node, maybe there's going to be like fast travel options through that. So maybe that'll kind of play into the game a little bit too, where, you know, rather than flying, you could just, you know, use like these, you know, very specific type of fast travel nodes to get around for the convenience sake and things like that. You know, as the world kind of expands, that may not be there initially, like at the start of a server. But I don't know. There's a lot of different ways. I mean, I feel like we're kind of on the topic, and you can keep talking about this too if you want, but, you know, having, and not just flying, because we did spend a lot of time talking about flying mounts, because they are a big deal, but, like, you know, having played a lot of MMOs, having, you know, had a lot of mounts, you know, dealt with them in a lot of different MMOs, like, what would you say are, like, some of the do's and don'ts for mounts in an MMO? Like, things they should do with them, or maybe shouldn't do with them?
What would be an easier one for me to start for is do's or
don'ts? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to go in on either side, I would say.
Yeah, I'm trying to think here. I guess I'll try the do's first. I do like how they're doing abilities for mounts, so each mount is unique instead of just you jump on it and get from point A to B, point B, right? It's kind of like Guild Wars 2, like the Raptor mount, like can like leap really far. Or you can get a bunny mount, which can leap really high up in the air. So, like, the difference, like, that kind of difference. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, skill difference, like, each mount can do specific things that other mounts can do is cool. But I also don't want it to lead to me having to have 50 different mounts on me to get around the world. It's like, I do like the cool stuff like that, don't get me wrong. But I don't want to have to carry, like, 10 different land mounts because, like, oh, I can ride on my horse to here, but then I need to get on a rabbit to jump up over this cliff, then get back on my horse again. And it's like, oh, well, now I have to fall really far. Now I got to get on a glide. And like, I don't mind carrying like a couple mounts on me, but the thing is like, it should be limited to, like I said, a couple. Anything more than having, like, if you have to carry 10 plus mounts on you to get around in the world, I don't think that's a good thing, in my opinion. But unless you're carrying them for like just specific reasons, like maybe you just want to ride that mount, that's fine, right? Maybe you like riding this kind of horse mount and it has certain abilities, but you also like your other horse mount for speed or something. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not opposed to that, but I don't like having it for like gameplay blocking reasons, like jumping over a cliff or gliding. Like, well, I mean, there is gliding in the game, I don't mind that, but like, you know, just very specific things a mount can do that I would have to carry it
yeah
for.
I get what you're saying. I actually think I'm gonna make an example here from Ark Survival Evolved, the survival game, which had a lot of flying mounts. And now, I can't speak, I never really played, like, the expansions, and, like, after they started adding a lot more dinosaurs, so maybe, like, it got really off track, I'm sure it did, But, you know, there was a lot of different flying mounts, but they all kind of had, like, a purpose and a use. And it was, I didn't feel like it was too overwhelming. Like, it helped, you wanted to have maybe, like, one of each, but it wasn't so overwhelming that, like, you know, it's like, all right, I have to use them in this situation. I have to use it in this situation. It was more like, all right, you know, maybe I want to get the best experience out of this certain situation. Like, I'll give you an example, like, in Arc, like your general, like kind of like I'm PvPing bird was like a Pterodon because they were pretty fast. They can get around. They had like a nice little attack you could do. You could, you know, grab people off of their mounts, which was a whole other thing. Had its fair share of issues, but and then you had like an Argentavis, which was kind of like a middle of the pack bird. Could carry a little bit more weight. Was just a good bird to fly around on. You could also add stats to your bird as it leveled up, so you can kind of customize a little bit, like, oh, I want my Argentavis to be more of a workhorse, like to just, you know, pick up a lot of weight. Maybe they can have a little bit more health to survive, like getting into a fight with somebody. And then there was like a Quetzal, which was like the mega work heavy load bird. Like you took them around to like go mining and like do all this other stuff and carry things around. And, you know, so there's kind of like these different like roles they filled, which I really liked. I think that would be really cool to have like in Ashes. I definitely agree. Like there's like a cutoff point though. Like you don't want to have like, you know, 20 mounts. Like, all right, I'm walking into a swamp. I got to hop on a frog here. Or like, all right, I'm, you know, going into, this area, I need to pull up this mount. Like that's too much, but like having a little bit of like versatility, having a little bit of roles, will be kind of interesting to see. I think breeding, like, you know, if people that are doing animal husbandry, like if they get to affect like certain stats and things like that, or, you know, like if you're breeding, like, oh, this is a warhorse, you know, it's really primed for like combat and stuff like that could be really cool. Because it can kind of give some focus to those people that are in that profession. And it can also kind of give like, hey, like I need to have like a warhorse for when I'm PvPing. Or versus, you know, this is just my daily travel mount that's maybe a little bit faster. So I think like that is really cool. I hope they kind of do that for the don'ts. I mean, I've also seen like the dark side, you know, in Ark Survival Evolved 2, where like, you know, there's, you know, with mounts, cause you're traveling pretty fast and like, you know, desync can be a big issue. And I know they plan to have like mounted combat to like a certain extent. So like be really careful with like the abilities, I would say, like as kind of like a don't, like don't overdo the abilities, don't make them too powerful, because again, when you're moving around at like these faster speeds, like it can get really, you know, wonky with like desync and network issues, and you know, it could just get real weird. I know we played Ark and like, you know, there was nothing worse than like the Pterodon battles you would get into, like where you're trying to grab somebody off their Pterodon while they grabbed you off, and like they'd be like 20 feet from you and you get picked off somehow. So like that's something I think they need to be careful with. But yeah, there's a lot of do's and don'ts for mounts, I think, in MMOs.
Yeah, and Ark just has a bad net code. So like, I mean, even if you have a really good net code, it's going to still feel a little wonky, like in terms of it, like they might be slightly ahead of you on your screen, but, or you might be slightly ahead of them on your screen, but on their screen, they're close enough to like, I don't know, attack you or something. There's just no way around
that. And I think too, MMOs like, you know, notorious for like, it's not like an FPS shooter where like everyone has like, you know, maybe in like a 20 to 50 ping range. Like a lot of times you might be playing, like you have a friend that's on the West Coast, you're playing with them. So like there might be a bigger ping differential too to like consider when like, when you're putting in like a lot of these types of abilities that might be, you know, based on like network or, you know, lag or things like that.
Yeah, and I wanted to just follow up on one of the things you said about the do's or the things when we're talking about having too many mounts, right? Like you said, I don't want to carry 9 million mounts on me, but like an example you gave was like maybe you're doing PvE and you want to get around faster, but you have a horse that is faster, but like it maybe has less health. So like if you end up in, it's like a risk, right? You run really, you go fast on the horse, but it has way less health, right? So if someone times a PvP you and try to snipe you off your mount, it will die quicker. Whereas you could have like a combat horse where it's slower, but it can pack a punch. It can take a lot of hits before it goes down, you know, those types of things. I don't mind like carrying two different horses for like that kind of reason is, to me, is not too much.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think about having mounts in combat? Like, you think it's gonna like lead to a better PvP experience. Again, we don't know a ton yet. They haven't really gone too much in depth about... They're still working on just regular combat, like, for your player. Like, so we don't know a ton about mounted combat. But, like, do you think as a whole that'll be interesting? Do you think it'll be a negative? I mean, we know mounts can die as well. So, like, that can be kind of maybe a... I don't know if I would call it, like, a balancing factor to keep things maybe a little bit in check. But, like, how do you kind of feel about mounted combat?
I'm for it. It sounds cool. And from what we know right now, you cannot use your player skills while mounted. You can only use your mount skills.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just going to give a hypothetical here because we don't know about any of this. So, like, say you have, say you're a melee player, right? Maybe your horse gets, like, a jousting, like, ability, right? I mean, it might be, like, stuff like that. Maybe you're, maybe you play an archer and maybe you can fire an arrow. It's not your player ability, but you can, like, fire an arrow while mounted or something. It's not, like, one of your player abilities. It's just unique to that horse or that mount because you're a ranger and you're on a horse and you can fire arrows. You know, maybe you have just... It could be... It's just not your class abilities, but it's, like, you're a ranged class, so you can use ranged... the ranged abilities for the mount on the mount. Whereas if you're a melee class, you can maybe like charge through the enemy and knock them all down or something. But I'm not against mount versus mount combat because like I said, the mount will be target. You could target the player on the mount or the mount itself directly. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure if your mount dies in PvP, you can resurrect it. It's not a permadeath.
Yes.
And it will be a little time limit before you can resurrect it. So it's not like you're going to lose it permanently. It'll just be dead for a while until you get to a stables or a town or whatever to resurrect it. So I do like mount combat. I think this will be good. And if they do mix up, like I said, like maybe the fighter class that we just saw, you know, he can charge through enemies and stuff like on a horse mount, whereas like a mage on a horse can maybe like call blizzards down or something from his horse. Like, just silly little things. It's not like insanely complex combat on the mounts, but it's enough to be like fun and add a little variety. Or maybe they could make specific abilities for each class.
Yeah.
For the mount, maybe like rangers could fire, like I said, rangers could be ranged on their mount, whereas a fighter can't be. Like, he can do a charge with it or something.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm just curious if it's going to be like that way or if it'll just be the animals have the abilities and like you kind of use it through them. Because I think the way that it works now is only like the mounts can only get the abilities from somebody that like I guess is like, I don't know, training them, breeding them, the animal husbandry. But I love it, like personally. Now, like I said, limitations are always the key with this because anytime you have like faster moving mounts in combat, right? Be careful because people will find ways to like exploit that speed, that mobility, right? Whether it's, you know, if you have like some kind of like ranged ability, for example, like maybe you drop a blizzard or like a few arrows and then you run, so you're, you know, things like that. But like, I think if mounts can like be killed, right, and maybe there's like a pretty good cooldown before they can be rezzed, or maybe the, you know, the cleric has to expend valuable time and mana on, you know, a mount versus like a person, right? That's something that's going to make some of these limitations come into play. But I think it's really cool. Like, I love the idea of mounts in combat, like, because I don't know, I just picture like a movie, or like, you know, I'm a big fan of like the Total War games, and like I love, like, I could just picture like something, you know, when we have like these big like siege combats, or like maybe even like open world combat, like we get into some big battles, which is very possible in this kind of PvEx game. You know, maybe it's like 100 versus 100. You know, maybe there's like a small detachment of mounted, you know, warriors that are like coming up from, you know, flanking from the side and kind of getting into the combat that way. And so like stuff like that can be really cool and really add to like this kind of almost like movie type, you know, battle and combat feel. So I like it. Again, I think as long as, again, they're willing to like, you know, put some limitations on it so it's not too powerful, I think it's going to be really important. To making sure it doesn't get abused and misutilized by players. But for the most part, I'm all for it. I'd love to see it. I think it just would look really cool.
Yeah, and it adds more variety to combat. Yeah, I'm just going to give you one more example before we move on to the next thing here is like you just said, like we're attacking a castle, right? And like everyone gets on their mounts, right? And they just charge in, right? Yeah, your mounts get picked off on the way in, but it just adds a whole nother, you know, they like just charge into the front line of that enemy or whatever and knock them down, and And then you've got people in the back firing arrows and siege onto them. It almost feels like a real battle, kind of like you said, Total War.
I think it could be really cool. Like I have all these like scenes in my head when I think about these types of things, like in the game, like, you know, maybe there's 50 horses, and then on the other side of the battlefield, people are lined up, and there's another 50 horses, and they're just charging in at each other, like all this crazy stuff that can kind of happen. And so I'm all for that. But yeah, so all right, so we kind of talked about like combat for mounts, some of the things like the do's and don'ts for mounts. Now here's something like that I guess I never have gotten into. I don't know if you have within World of Warcraft, because I know this is definitely like a World of Warcraft thing. There's a lot of like, I don't know if I'd call them collectibles, but maybe like mounts. You know, a lot of people like spend a lot of time like, you know, doing quests and certain things you have to do in order to like earn mounts like through the game. Do you kind of like this as like a gameplay feature, like in a game, like, you know, collectible mounts, like people are spending time on that? I don't know. I guess I'm gonna get your opinion on it, because I definitely am a little bit more jaded, like in the as the person who's like, it's like whatever, it's just, you know, a mount. As long as it has like functionality, that's all I care about. So I don't know if you how you feel about like mount collection in an MMO.
I don't mind it if it has a purpose. Like, the only purpose in WoW is just like, oh, I got a rare mount and you don't, really. That's about it. And I think with the way Ashes is doing it is like, you know, you can have different stats. It's like, oh, I got a really fast horse, but he's really weak with health pool. That's cool. A cool mount to collect. Or, oh, I got a really cool gliding mount. You know, maybe it can do barrel rolls or something to get extra distance and maybe some other. I mean, I get why people like collecting things, but WoW is a collectathon MMO. Like, it's got tens of thousands of things to collect, hundreds of mounts. Some of them are 0.1% drop rates off of old raids you have to farm, and like some people have spent years farming them. I don't mind that, but I feel like it's going to tie into our next con our when we talk about our next little part of mounts here is like the animal husbandry thing is like you can breed them, you can have them with different stats. Again, since you can use mount in combat, it'll be more fun to collect certain ones. Maybe certain ones will be better in combat, and like I said, certain ones will be better about just traveling. So I think collection is more fun when you have more purpose for your mount and like I said, abilities. Like maybe you want to chase after that mount that can glide further, right? It gives you a good reason. Or maybe you just want to have a really pretty looking one to glide on. It doesn't glide far, but it's just beautiful, and you just want to stare at it. And I think both of these things are okay. I think having very pretty mounts to collect is fun, and I think having mounts for stat purposes through the animal husbandry system, these are two great things. So maybe you just want to do stats only. You don't care about looks. More power to you. Maybe you want to do looks, or maybe you can apply, maybe if you capture X pretty mount, you can apply that skin to your really good mount. So, I do like collecting things in video games, but it can become too much if they really go crazy with it. Like World of Warcraft over 20 years is like 700 plus mounts, and you probably got like over 100 plus of them are a 0.1% drop rate, and it's just like, I don't know, I'm more interested in the stat collecting than how amount. I mean, will I collect some mounts that are pretty looking? Yeah, but I mean, I'm more interested in the stats and how it benefits, like the different stats and what abilities it can use, and like how it benefits me in the world than anything.
I'm definitely the same way. I'm very like functional. Like I just care about like, you know, the utility of them, like the functionality of them. So yeah, I would definitely be a lot more interested in like collecting in terms of like, okay, I just want the best stats that I can get, the best, you know, mount in terms of functionality. Again, that is nothing against, like, I know a lot of people love to collect and like things like that. And if that's like, you know, something they want to do, that's totally fine. Like whether it's like a mount that looks cool, totally for it. Again, I do think like I'm against kind of like, you know, FOMO and, you know, fear of missing out in terms of like making it like a, you know, a 0.01% drop on some rare mob that doesn't spawn that often, like stuff like that. Like, I don't like, you know, maybe if it's like a long quest line or something like that to like earn it, or like something like that where it's maybe it's difficult and time consuming, but it's more doable and accessible to more people. Like, I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm definitely not a huge collector fan, but it will be kind of interesting to see, because, you know, it just depends. Like, I'm curious to see how hardcore, and we'll kind of get into like talking about like breeding mounts and stuff like that with through the animal husbandry profession as well, because I think this kind of feeds into it too. Like, it's going to be interesting to see like what a range of stats you could earn from like breeding mounts and things like that, because, man, like, and same with Ark, because Ark has like breeding, like, you have people that will just spend all day like trying to like fine tune and like get the exact stats that they want, and like, it is extremely time consuming. And like, if you want that like just 0.1% advantage, right, you got to put in like so much time, you know, to get like that extra stat that you need or that extra stat you want. So I hope it's not like that in terms of like the animal husbandry and breeding mounts and finding mounts. But I do love like animal husbandry as like a profession, definitely one that I'm considering. And that's kind of like my main profession, but I hope it's not too fine-tuned. Like, oh, like, if I really truly want to be meta, then I gotta like, you know, spend hundreds and hundreds of hours like just to get that like 0.1%, like, for in terms of like breeding it or finding it.
Well, I agree with you there, but I think there are ways around that, right? Like, if you have enough people doing animal husbandry, then maybe you could get that 0.1%, and then like hopefully someone nabs it, they'll make a fortune off it initially, but it will eventually spread around and everyone will eventually get it, right? So like, I think with the breeding system, like, if there are super rare drops, as long as there's a way to breed them so other people can get them, like, obviously the person who gets it is very lucky, right? And they're gonna make a fortune because they got the drop, and they're like, oh, well, guess what? I'm going to sell this off to breed, so someone to breed it. And then that person who buys it spends that insane amount of gold, right, will breed it, and then they will sell those mounts, and eventually they'll start producing more, and more will get out there, and the price will drop, blah, yada, yada, yada. Like I said, that's a good thing about a player-run economy, is like super rare mounts can be FOMO at first, but then if you can breed them and, you know, spread them out more over time, then it's not a huge deal. But yeah, the min-maxing of stats, it just, I agree. I think there should be some depth there, but I do think like maybe they need to have a focus in terms of stats. Like, the best way of dealing with this would be like, maybe you have one offensive stat, one defensive stat, or you can maybe run double offensive stat, but obviously your mount is going to be significantly weaker in terms of taking damage, right? Or you can run double defensive stats. So like, if you're out in the world and you don't want to be your mount to be killed while you're running around, like someone tries to PvP you, having double defensive stats will benefit you. But maybe your mounts, maybe one of those defensive stats could be it's faster or something. I don't know. It's like, we got to play with this system and test it and really give them feedback to balance it out. You want depth, but you don't want like, oh my God, min-max. And like, I kind of get what you're saying. You just don't want like one person to get a, like a breed of a horse that's like so good and no one wants anything else. Yeah, right.
I think that's just the key. And again, this is just me. Some people love min-maxing and stuff like that, so not to take away from them, but I do think there's, you know, like you said, like there's a balance of like depth. Like, we want the system to have depth and to be rewarding so people can put in like, you know, hundreds of hours like into this, but not so much that it's system that, you know, really like punishes people that aren't min-maxing quite the way they should, or, you know, things like that. So I hope that it is you know, balanced in that regard. Here's some,
well, sorry, I was just going to say, nothing's truly balanced, for one. And two, the best thing they can do is really incentivize people to, like I said, you're always going to have a stat someone's going to want, right? And the best thing they can do is just make all the stats from breeding somewhat viable. Like I said, maybe you want a fast horse, but it has really low health, right? Stuff like that. So, like, they need to have incentives and then disincentives. So, like, oh, everyone wants a really fast horse because it's really good, but it can be killed in two shots, or a ranger can snipe it and it dies really fast. So like you have a really good reason to have this horse. It's really fast, but it can be killed very, very quickly, and if it gets picked off, you're kind of screwed there. Or you can have a slightly slower mount, but it can take significantly more hits. So like I said, the best way they can balance it is just to, give people that kind of choice.
Yeah.
Right. Make the choices meaningful and impactful, but at the same time, not so broken. Like that, just like not super broken, obviously. So, like I said, maybe some people just want a tanky horse. Maybe some people just want a speedy horse, and they both have their advantages and disadvantages. And that balance is really what's going to drive the animal husbandry system.
Yeah, I think it's similar because we've talked about this, like when we talked about like classes and stuff like that. I'm a big fan of like having roles, because I think having roles they're gonna offer more functionality, right? If it's not about roles and it's more about like stats and things like that, then I think it'll just boil down to like, all right, what's the most meta, class, or in this case like horse, like, okay, it's the speed horse. So like having like specific roles, kind of like you said, like maybe like you want a more tanky horse, or maybe like if you're like a trader and you're really immersed in the economy, you're gonna want a horse that can pull a lot of weight, like in a caravan faster. I don't know. There's like a lot of different things you can kind of do with that. So yeah, I think definitely any kind of role is going to be giving them like roles and different functionality, and kind of depending on how you want to play and what you want to do, I think will be really important. Maybe the abilities will factor in this as well.
Actually, that's a good point you just made, because the mount you can put on the caravan, maybe it's slightly slower, right? But it can take significantly more hits before it's killed, right? And the caravan is harder to kill. But or maybe you just want a faster, maybe you want the caravan to get from point A to point B faster, but the horse can be killed really easily. So like I said, you just made a really good point in like PvP and how that kind of interact with the world. So like it gives a reason for people to want like the tanky horse or the fast horse. Maybe you're really good at avoiding players and you can use the fast horse, or maybe you're not so good at it and you just want the tanky horse, and then fight enemies off or something. But I thought that was a good point you brought up.
Yeah, I think just having like different roles is going to be important, and like different things that you can do with those roles. Like maybe you want the horse that is just purely defensive and like that is faster, and that's your caravan horse. Or if you want a PvP horse, maybe it's more offensive and maybe stronger and has more hit points or something, versus having more speed or something like that. So there's a lot of different ways I think that they can kind of like mess around, and I'm just all about like avoiding like one meta, which when you assume with the mount, it's going to be like probably speed, maybe hit points, stuff like that. So as long as there's a little bit of variety, different roles they can kind of fulfill, I think will be a really good thing. Something that I'm really interested in, yep, is maybe this is just me, my time playing Star Wars Galaxies, but the fact that it appears, again, I know we kind of talked about this off the podcast, that maybe there was a little bit of like confusion. Because it mentions that other than like the mounts that are like royal mounts, flying mounts, that's mounts that are in the world, or like particularly they say specifically the ones that like through animal husbandry won't die or degrade over time. Other than like they can die in combat, but they can obviously be brought back. They're not like permanently lost. And I think that's kind of interesting, because when we talk about like a player run economy, like I do wonder, unless like it becomes like a system for like people that are doing animal husbandry, where they are kind of like, there's always this constant push to like, get the max stats on certain things. Then if the horses aren't going to, die or, from old age or whatever, like then we're left with kind of like, well, eventually you're just going to get the mount you want. And then, where do we go from there? Like, what are people going to do from animal husbandry in Star Wars Galaxies? Like, it made a little bit of sense too, because you had mounts, whether it was like a speeder or something like that, but they did slowly degrade over time. And so like eventually, yes, like, the person that made speeders was going to be, you'd have to go back to him, because you knew eventually your speeder was going to like die and run out. So I think if there's no threat of degradation or death, I am kind of curious to see like in the long term, again, we're talking about an MMO, so like, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, like what's going to keep animal husbandry kind of like pushing forward as a profession if these mounts kind of get maxed out, like going forward? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I'm just going to say bluntly, I think if you have a mount and it can just, now I get that very special mounts like the Royal Flying Mounts don't last long, right? Because they're very special. I get that. I feel like having your mount die permanently kind of sucks.
It's fair.
So, but I do understand why they need a reason for animal husbandry to actually be viable, because if anyone can just go out there and tame or whatever a mount and there's no trade-off for it, like you keep it forever, I don't know how they can really fix this. I don't know. Maybe it does seem like that eventually, because how animal husbandry, like we know how it works, from what we know how it works right now in Ashes, obviously it could change before launch, but from what we know right now, it seems like if you want mounts, right, you're going to want to go to someone who has this profession, because it won't degrade and it won't die permanently. Yeah. So like, I don't see any reason to, like, they may have like a cheap mount you could buy for X amount of gold to get you started, or a quest mount, right? But the end goal here, based on what they're showing right now, is that you are going to get all your mounts from animal husbandry people, like, period. That's what it seems like. And I'm not against this at all, because I think this will have a market for mounts. And like I said, it feeds into that player economy. I have nothing wrong with, like, a cheap rental horse you can get, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, like I said, I don't like my mounts dying permanently, but like I said, if animal husbandry works really well, you know, I'll just go and trade for them. So like I said, I do think this is a great way to get the mount system into the player economy. And yeah, like I said, like maybe you'll have a rental horse that lasts X amount of days before it disappears or something. Like I said, I'm against not having your mount die permanently, but like I said, as long as animal husbandry, you know, stays the way it is, and you can pretty much get anything you want from it, hopefully, I think this is a fine system.
Yeah, I would definitely say I should always add this in too. I'm definitely more of the non-traditional MMO player. Like, I love, like, setback, I like loss, I like things, you know, being sometimes more challenging. So like, that may not be the standard MMO player, I don't know. Where people are like, you know, you attach to your mounts, like you found a really cool one, you don't want it to die. So that's totally understandable. But I do wonder, just like long term, again, thinking about like a, you know, a game 5 years, 10 years down the road, which hopefully we get from Ashes, like, you know, for, you know, in those 10 years where maybe you're not getting as many new players or you're getting returning players. But I am curious, like, what's going to kind of keep pushing, like, that profession. Like, if like, because once you get your elite mounts, then, like, I kind of imagine, unless they add in new mounts or things like that, like, you know, what's going to keep, like, people, like, buying mounts? And I do think your initial mount, I think I read it on the wiki as well, I think you get it from a quest. But I imagine, like, you know, getting one from, that's from an animal husbandry, you know, someone in the profession, is going to be probably better, faster, whatever. You know, can have the abilities put on it. So that is interesting. But yeah, I just kind of, again, this is me just being me, where I'm like thinking, like, you know, all right, like 10 years down the road, like, what's animal husbandry going to do if everybody that, you know, is playing already has their elite amounts, you know, elite mounts, and there's really nothing else to, like, add or tweak or, you know, things like that. So that's just something, again, probably not even relevant. We need to get the game first and, you know, get it underway and launched and everything before we start worrying about that. But just something I was thinking about, like, if mounts, you know, kind of like in Star Wars Galaxies, where, like, you know, mounts would degrade and eventually, quote unquote, die. And, like, you know, what's going to be, you know, that'll kind of keep the player economy rolling for that profession. So just something interesting. I don't necessarily think they should die, but it was just something that I thought would be kind of interesting. Or maybe their stats get degraded as they get older, like something like that. But
I get what you're saying. Like, I mean, I understand why you're saying it. Like, you're thinking like 10 years from now, like what's it gonna look like? I understand why you're asking that question right now, because like, once you get your elite mount, what happens then? It's just like, oh well, they'll just keep adding more content and then more mounts to get. And it's like, maybe that's not the ideal situation. I honestly, I so I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't know how they deal with this, right? Like, say we're 2 years after launch, like everyone has their elite mounts, like where do we go from here to make animal husbandry viable? I don't even think they're thinking about that right now,
No, I assume
because
they're not.
they don't, like I said, we don't even have the game out yet. So I get why you're saying it, because it is a viable long-term question and it definitely should be asked at some point. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like maybe there should be some more depth outside of just, getting the min-max stacks or whatever you want, and then getting your elite mount and being done with the whole system. But I agree with you. There needs to be, I mean, I don't know. So hopefully as we get into Alpha 2, and we find limitations in the system, we can give them feedback to make it better. Like, so
Yeah.
maybe their stats will degrade. I mean, I really don't have a good solution here, because no one wants to spend all this time and effort in getting a mount. I'm comparing it to World of Warcraft. Like, no one wants to spend all this time to get a 0.1% drop, and then, it goes from the normal 310 flying speed in WoW down to 10% walk speed, right? That's just terrible. So, I agree. There's always got to be some sort of long-term solution, and maybe they could, I don't know, maybe they could focus on like crossbreeding, or maybe animal husbandry can, I don't know, make skins for your mounts in the future, so you can keep the profession relevant. Maybe they can do help with farming, like you're farming, maybe you have a herd of cows on your farm in Ashes, and maybe they can, help. I don't know. I'm sure they'll figure something out, but I get what you're
Yeah,
saying.
and I think it depends on too, like the type of MMO they want to have too. Because like, yeah, I think if you're definitely coming in from it like as a World of Warcraft player, you think of mounts as like kind of like these generally speaking like these permanent things. Like almost in some for a lot of people, they could be collectibles. Like the idea of like losing that is going to be kind of crazy. But if you're coming at it more from like for me, like that's played a lot of these games, like Star Wars Galaxies, where your quote unquote mounts, so they were like speed or something like that. They degrade and they go away, and it's like, oh, I just gotta. Go to the store and buy a new one. Like to me, like not an issue. So I think it just depends, on the type of system. And I'm gonna go a little bit off topic here, because I think this does relate a little bit. It also depends, and this is something we're a topic we're gonna dive heavily into. Because the thing that I'm probably most interested in beyond like combat and stuff like that is the economy. And like the thing about like a player run economy is like there has to be if you want a player run economy to generally keep going. There's kind of two ways to do it because, it has to either things have to, disappear, right? Whether it's like a weapon that like reaches zero durability and it's gone, right? Which, Star Wars Galaxy did, like, oh, gotta go buy a new blaster. Or like there's gotta be something that keeps pushing like you to keep crafting something. And I know there's things that I think they're gonna be like, I'm gonna use the wrong word here, but like augments to certain like recipes and like items were like, oh yeah, I can tweak the stats a little bit, or I can try to get aim for that like higher stat. Kind of like something that you get like in an action RPG where you're like, ooh, like yeah, like I can get like this one stat 0.2% better, like potentially on a roll. So like, is it going to be that pushing the game forward? And this kind of relates to mounts too, or is it going to be like, things have perish. There's like the things are perishable. So like, whether it's a mount, whether it's a sword, how is that player economy going to keep pushing? Like how are these professions going to maintain relevancy down the road? If depending on what kind of system they decide to go with.
And these are great questions, because as we know, there's, like you said, there's only two paths forward. Either you said the item breaks or the mount dies and you have to get a new one, right? Or it lasts forever, but then they're going to be in this cycle of having to create endless amounts of new
Yes.
content, which can lead to extreme amounts of bloat, which we definitely know World of Warcraft has over 20 years, like 700 plus mounts. So it's like, what path are they, because like player run economy, it has to be viable all the time. Like animal husbandry just cannot fall off, right, and be useless. Yeah. So they either have to keep evolving the system by adding new stuff, which can get down a slippery slope after X amount of time. You know, you get too much stuff and then it gets too complex, and like maybe that's the route they want to go. Or do you lose things? And I really don't know. Maybe I just, this is such a controversial topic. I mean, 90% of people would just rather have more new stuff added because they're like, I don't want to lose anything I have. And I get that, right? No one wants to lose anything they spend a lot of time and effort into getting. And that is a fair argument. But at the same time, it can lead to just insane amount. I mean, like you said, you were talking 10 years out, and that's obviously too much for me to think about, but like, just, you know, if they just keep adding new mounts and mounts and mounts and mounts and more, and like you take a break from playing Ashes, then you get fall behind, and then eventually you just have hundreds of mounts that you have to collect and level up and get perfect stats for, and then that just leads to too much. So it's a fine, it's like, where's the middle ground in this? And this is that's a very hard question to ask or answer, because like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the middle ground of like losing the item to keep the player economy viable so they have to buy it again, or keeping it forever but just keep adding more and more and more. Most people, I think, would prefer adding more and more and more and more, but eventually down the line, like I said, it's going to lead to too much. Yeah.
And I think that's like, that's the big decision. Like, and the answer may be out there. Maybe we just haven't like dug into it enough or heard the interview where they talked about that. But, you know, that is kind of like the ultimate question, and it applies to everything, mounts included, which is kind of like why I've gone down this road. But, you know, because it is a major decision. And again, I love that type of stuff. Like, to me, loss in a game makes things interesting, because then you have choices to make. You know, you have, it gives, to me, it gives more value to something. Like, you know, an escape from Tarkov, you know, when I get a really good gun, right, that I find off somebody or something like that, or I make a really good gun, it, like, it adds more value to that item, knowing that I could lose it, like, potentially, and, like, someone else could take it, or, you know, it just gets lost in the world. So, and, you know, I kind of could picture something like that, too, like, with Ashes. Like, maybe you get, like, this really amazing, you know, recipe for a sword, you give it to your blacksmith, they make it for you, it's really awesome, and it's amazing, but, you know, eventually, over time, you know, and it could be a long time, certainly, you know, I don't want the system from, you know, like a Dead Rising game where it's, you know, you shoot a gun 30 times and, or, you know, use a melee weapon 30 times and it's gone forever. But, you know, something that certainly has some longevity, and, you know, losing that, like, in the long term, though, kind of adds like a lot of value to me. It's like, man, I remember that one sword I had, that was really cool. And so, like, things like that can add a lot of weight, I think. And so, yeah, it'll be an interesting kind of decision they have to make for a truly run player economy. You know, when you get into, like, partially run player economies and things like that, or economies that are based off of rating as well, then it kind of changes things, because then it's more so, like, you're just doing raids to get the 0.1% drop, and then you get it, and then you're good until they add more content, and then they add a better item, and then you kind of go through the same process. And some people like that too. So again, not to knock that. But if it doesn't sound like that's the goal, because Ashes is a player-run economy, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how it all, you know, including mounts, I guess, works out in the long run.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, games that don't have player-run economies have the same problem. It's like, in World of Warcraft, like, you might find, during a specific season, right, like, a really cool trinket that has an awesome proc, and you love it, and it's just so much fun, right? And then, literally, when the next season starts, that trinket will last you a little while, but you eventually replace it, and it becomes useless eventually.
Yeah.
So, I really, like, when you were, you know, talking, I was thinking about how, like, they could, like, I was thinking maybe, like, they could do an imprint system where, like, you get this really, really awesome mount, right? And since maybe skins are just applied via, like, a UI element, right? You get a mount with an awesome imprint, right? And you buy it, it eventually dies, right? You can take that imprint, because that will last forever, and you take it back to the animal husbandry person, right? And then they breed you a new horse, but then they're the only ones that can imprint those specific stats you saved onto the new horse. This way, they still have a way to make money, yeah, right?
That'd be a good idea.
I mean, that could be an idea. That could be an idea. So like, you get the perfect horse or whatever you're going aiming for. You could rip the imprint off. Maybe even have the animal husbandry person do it. They rip the imprint off for the exact stats you want for that horse. They charge you a fee for it. They give you a scroll or whatever, and that lasts forever. And then whenever your horse just gets too old or whatever system they have in place, right? You have your imprint. So you're not losing your horse. Your skin is applied separately for the looks. And then you just bring that imprint to them. They breed you a new horse. Or maybe they even have horses ready, like fully matured. And they're like, can you imprint this horse for me? Sells it to you. And that still keeps it viable in a way.
All right. You did it. You solved it. We did it. Good job. No, I think that would be awesome. No,
maybe. Maybe. Well, here's the thing. It would work to a degree, but again, I don't know if I want it that simple. I always want some sort of, like, I do want new things, but I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I want to see what they do, and that is a kind of good idea, but we'll see.
I like what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I don't know. I'm just weird. Like, I like variety. I like chaos. I know sometimes, like, I think with an MMO player, like, that doesn't always mesh. People like consistency. Like, they know where they can find the weapon drop. They know what the weapon percentage is. They know once they get that weapon, they're good. And, until, like, a gear reset or something. So, I don't know.
Well, what I also wanted to say is Ashes is not targeting World of Warcraft players. Like, if you play World of Warcraft and you like World of Warcraft, you might as well just stay playing World of Warcraft. Like, Steve has said this many times. He said, we're going to have systems in the game, you know, like maybe your mounts die and you have to get a new one and stuff like that. I mean, they're willing to budge on some of these issues if the players don't like them, right? But he's not aiming to have 10 million players. Would he like to have 10 million players play Ashes? I'm sure he would. But his design, he's not designing the game around that. Like, he's not going to be able to please everyone. And some of the designs are just going to be annoying to some people. So I think if you come into Ashes, like I said, we just debated, like, whether your horse can die or not. Maybe he will just be like, well, that's how we're going to keep animal husbandry. You know, maybe he'll think of the imprint idea, or they figure it out, like I said, as a way to not, like, you know, make it too burdensome for people, but he might just say, this is just going to happen, right? Now, he might have the wiggle room, like the imprint system I just talked about, right? But he's not designing the game for the, like World of Warcraft-like numbers. He's just making a game people want to play, but at the same time with these X, Y, and Z systems, like you said, when people ask about, can you avoid PvP? He said, you can go really hard at avoiding it, but you'll never truly avoid it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how he's designing the game. The game is a PvP game. It's a PvEX game, right? You can get ganked out in the wild, but you can go out of your way to avoid it, but you're never going to fully avoid it. And that's probably going to apply to a lot of the systems in this game. So I just want people to be reminded of that. So hopefully when we get into alpha and test these things that, oh yeah, your mount dying and you can't save the stats sucks. So maybe the imprint idea will resonate with Steven. He's like, you know what? That's actually a pretty good idea. And, you know, the animal husbandry profession can, you know, still keep making money and it keeps the player economy going. And then they'd be like, your mount will still die, but you know what? You can save the stats.
Yeah. So. I think that's a good point to make. I think we talked about it a little bit. I don't know if it was the last video or the video before maybe, but like, you know, Steve has said, like, Ashes is going to be difficult. Like, it's not just going to be, you know, catered to every whim of, you know, the player. And, you know, things are going to be challenging in some ways. And so I think that's a good thing. And I think it's good that they don't be WoW, because WoW's got, like, a 20-year jump on them. So if they just try to make WoW, like, in the same and try to cater to the same players, I'm sure there'll be crossover. You know, WoW players coming to Ashes. Maybe when Ashes is underway, people will go back to WoW for various reasons. So, like, and that's okay, but, like, I definitely don't think you necessarily want to build the game for the same player for sure, because it just doesn't work.
Well, here's the thing. Chase and World of Warcraft has failed for so many MMOs. Don't chase World of Warcraft, okay? World of Warcraft is really good at what it does. Sure, it has its ups and downs, but don't, like, if you're gonna, unless you have a $1 billion budget, like, there's no way you're gonna touch World of Warcraft right now. I think, like I said, Ashes is doing its sandboxy MMO, and that's where it needs to be. It can have a lot of good PvE in it and stuff, like you said, right? It's not chasing World of Warcraft. I love World of Warcraft for a long time. Millions of people love World of Warcraft. This game can exist without those players.
Absolutely.
And it's fine if some of those players come over, but I don't think World of Warcraft players should be come over and say, well, this game's too... Steve wants to put the MMO back in MMOs. Like, World of Warcraft has kind of gone far away from that concept. It's just like, it's not really... It's an MMO, but it does not feel like a traditional MMO in the sense.
No, it was, and Blizzard does like has done an amazing job of this for a long time. Like, I feel like most of what their business model has been taking a game or a genre and making it a lot more accessible. And I mean accessible not in terms of, or more in terms of just easier to play, easier to, like, you know, engage, like, in the gameplay, the systems. MMOs were notoriously for a long time, like, challenging things, like really difficult things, you know, whether it was, you know, really steep grind that you had to engage in, whether it was just like challenging in terms of, like, man, just like getting a quest, you know, used to be like challenging. It's like, all right, I'm getting this quest and I go travel, you know, 10 miles across the continent to finish it, or you know, PvP, like, it was really brutal. Like, when you would die, like, you were taking massive, like, you know, XP debts and things like that. And, you know, World of Warcraft really streamlined everything and made things a lot more easier to play and a lot more, you know, friendly towards casual players, which I think is great. Like, it put MMOs really on the map, so to speak. And I think that's great, but I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, Ashes taking a step back and really beginning to question, like, all right, what's something that, like, we're okay with, like, not making as easy for the sake of, like, more challenge, more gameplay? Because a lot of times when you take a step back, you know, like, we're talking about, like, should mounts die? Like, again, the benefit, there is a benefit to mounts dying, which is, again, that animal husbandry profession, right? They get to function, right? They get to keep engaging in their gameplay. And maybe there is, like, that social dynamic, like, with imprinting, like you kind of mentioned, like, you got to meet somebody who knows how to do animal husbandry. And then you get, like, hey, can you give me, like, this imprint? Like, you know, all these different types of things that, like, kind of come into play because the game is a little bit harder. And, like, I think that's, to me, really, really fun. Not to everybody, but I hope they, you know, think about that as we kind of, you know, wrap up here a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what Steve wants, though. He literally wants this. He's like most modern MMO. Like, it's not like World of Warcraft. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it because podcast has been going on, but keep it. Like, World of Warcraft is just like, unless you're in a guild and doing like normal heroic or mythic raiding, you can pretty much queue, or I mean, you can even pug those. It's not like, it's not a huge. I mean, a lot of people do like their tight knit guilds and stuff. Don't get me wrong, but in World of Warcraft, when you want to do a dungeon or PvP, you just hit a button and queue up for it and wait in line.
Yeah.
Like, Steve does not want this for this game. Like, a lot of the dungeons in Ashes are going to be out, like, open. So you'll actually run into other players in them. And a lot of people might not like that. Some dungeons will be instance, but a lot of people got to remember, this game is trying to go back to the old feel of MMOs. The world is open, the world is dynamic, the world is player run. And you know, it just might not be for everybody.
Yeah, and I think I love that personally. I think it makes, I think one of the things, this will be, I guess, my last thing before we wrap up here. Like, one of the things that, like, I really miss about, like, any MMO is, you know, and, you know, World of Warcraft obviously was this, but even like a lot of MMOs have come out since, is like, it's really taken the social element out of it, which to me was the whole point of an MMO. Well, not the whole point, but certainly a massive one was, you know, interacting with people, like getting to meet new people, you know, engaging with people that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise, because you're just going into a, you know, a roll queue for a dungeon and you just go in the dungeon, you do it and you never see them again, you know, stuff like that. Or like, you know, especially with like player run businesses, you know, you get to know somebody, you build a relationship with somebody and like, hey, like, yeah, like you're my go-to blacksmith. I'm always going to come to you. Like stuff like that really adds, I think, something special to an MMO. And I do think it's, maybe this is old man yelling to the sky, but you know, something that like I definitely miss for sure. And I hope we get to kind of see that come back in Ashes of Creation for sure.
Yeah, I don't think that's old man yelling at the sky. I think that's, I do think there's a market of people who want that back.
I hope so, because I definitely do.
I think so. I love the convenience of modern World of Warcraft, don't get me wrong. Like, being able to queue up and stuff is great, but I honestly miss, like in the old vanilla days, I knew everyone on my server. I knew the horror guys that attacked me all the time. Like, I mean, I knew them. I knew their names. Right. It's like, when you play WoW now, you just go into it. It randomly enters you with random people, and you may never see them again. You can add them to your friends list and stuff, but it's just like it's not organic.
Yeah, and that adds more value too, because like it, you know, then you have like these rivalries. Like, guys, that's that son of a bitch, like orc, you know, warrior. Like, he's here. Like, you know, that adds like a whole, like, you have a reputation, which, you know, is kind of cool too.
There is that. There is an actual guy. There was an orc rogue who ganked people on alliance boats. There's old videos from it on YouTube somewhere, who was a menace to society. Like, people would whisper him really bad things after he ganked them. He would camp the boat. And like I said, it was a real story. I think obviously what he was a griefer, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I mean, it's those type of things that, like, I don't want that specific type of things. I don't want griefers, but like, you know, it's that type of thing. It's like maybe you have a rivalry with someone in a different guild on your Ashes server, and it's just like that doesn't really exist on WoW. It's like the best rivalries you have in WoW is watching the race to world first and like rooting for the two top guilds, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and just kind of like tying it back in a little bit to like mounts and everything too. Like, same deal. Like, you know, you the reputation you could build, and this was true in like Star Wars Galaxies. Like the people that made mounts in Star Wars Galaxies, it was like the people that made really good mounts, the people that were really consistent, the people that were like cutting you a fair deal that would work with you, like those were always the people that you'd go to, and you kind of had a little like relationship with them. So like all that stuff kind of ties in and matters. And so yeah, maybe this is something we need to talk about more. We're gonna kind of wrap up here. I think it was a pretty good long episode there about mounts, which is always, you know, a pretty exciting topic, thinking about it and all the things that can kind of happen. But I think next week we're gonna do kind of, I'm calling it a quarterly catch up. So maybe just kind of like talking about the game, not necessarily a specific plan topic, but as we kind of close out the quarter, you know, maybe we can mention the things that we've seen so far, whether through the developer updates or just kind of like talk about the game. And we are one quarter closer to potentially Alpha 2 release. So that's, you know, something we can kind of, you know, dig into a little bit. So I think that's the plan for next week, kind of a quarterly catch up. So if you're interested in that, definitely come on by, and certainly check out our other videos about various topics that, if you're interested. We are, of course, available on YouTube if you would prefer to listen there. We also have availability on pretty much all your major podcast platforms, Apple and Spotify, all that good stuff. Please, if you're on YouTube, definitely, that seems to be where we're getting a lot of our traffic. Subscribe, like, comment, if you want to ask questions, or if you'd like to see anything like how's our formatting, all that good stuff. If you want to, again, talk to us a little bit more, we do have a growing, getting there, Discord, so you're more than welcome to come in. The description should be in the link, or the link should be in the description, jeez. So you can certainly jump down there if you'd like to come say hey and talk to us. We talk about other things. Diablo 4 is a big, Season 4, I believe, is a big topic right now in our Discord, so feel free to come in, talk about that or anything else. Leave us a review, again, on podcast services of your choice, if you would like to. That helps us out as well. And yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. We appreciate you joining us. You can catch us next week for kind of our quarterly catch-up, and I will, we'll see you all next week.
See you next week.
Hey everybody, this is Frenzy. I just want to jump in here at the end before we kind of outro. I do apologize in advance for any of the kind of audio issues or audio quality. My microphone is broken. Unfortunately, it does still work, but it's not exactly recording in the ideal situation. So apologies for my mic audio in particular. We also crashed kind of as we were finishing up the podcast, which was a pretty long one, and unfortunately, we kind of managed to cobble together the audio. So if you hear anything strange, I think there was like a USB because my mic plugged in, plugged out. It's not you, it's me. So I just want to take a second to apologize. Hopefully, again, should be getting a new mic here maybe in a couple weeks. But yeah, that was it. I just wanted to say appreciate you. Sorry for all the audio quality issues, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.